saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Third hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget to tune in all day on Friday as we will be celebrating 9 years ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yep, 9 years, and we're going to celebrate it with you, the loyal listeners. We've got prizes all day long, including Predators Winter Classic jerseys, Titans memorabilia, Nashville SC jersey and scarf, $100 gift cards for Dunkin' Donuts and Party Foul, and much, much more. We'll be giving away at least one great prize every hour, starting at 6 a.m. all the way until 6 p.m. For more details, go to the Nashville or GameNashville.com. The birthday party brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, we say hello to former Oilers / Titans head coach, spent a long time in this market, and we always enjoy our chats with him. Jeff Fisher is on the line. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Good afternoon to all you guys.
Yeah, good afternoon to you. How have you been since we last spoke?
Well, when was that?
It was probably
a couple of months ago.
Yep.
Well, I think it was pre-draft. Wasn't it pre-draft or something like that?
I think you're right. Yeah. It was pretty early on in the quarantine phase.
Yeah, can they pull off the draft type of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, obviously, they've come a long way. So, but I'm doing well. Spending my time between here and Montana. And just got back into town last night for a couple weeks and going to pick up, maybe watch a little high school football Friday night, which is pretty impressive when you travel around the country and you talk to different people and you hear, you know, that school districts have shut down for the year and, you know, all those things, just to think that, you know, hey, there's a little bit of ball going on. And someone told me that Austin Peay may be playing Central Arkansas this weekend. And
yep.
So, you know, it's just all eyes are open. It doesn't matter what the level of the sport is, whether it's youth or high school or college or Power Five or NFL. It's just everybody wants it. So, you know, everybody's taking baby steps towards it, but it's almost here. And imagine the amount of work and effort and that's gone into, you know, being able to play a game. It puts what's happening in NHL in perspective, right, Willie? I mean, what a great job they've done to this point. So, yeah, I'm happy to join you guys. I don't know if I have, you know, many answers to your questions, but I'll certainly give it a shot.
Oh.
If you stay away from fantasy football, I appreciate it. So, but
you'll do just fine. I want to start with, we've had some listeners reach out to us to kind of help get the word out, a former player of yours who's right now battling for his life with cancer. I know his mom is selling shirts, and we're obviously more than happy to help. But have you had a chance, you know, with what's going on with Josh Evans?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I have not spoken with Josh personally. A group of guys went down. Coach Watterson went down with a couple guys, Kenny Holmes, and surprised Josh in the middle of treatments. And it's a sobering, deal, you know, when you're talking about life and it puts things in perspective. You know, Josh, those are the listeners that didn't know Josh. Josh was, man, he was the life of the party on the defensive line. You know, back when we, you know, back in the, you know, in the 99, 2000, in that era, and just a really good player, just a great person. And, you know, things can hit you overnight. And so Josh is in the fight for his life right now. So anything and everything we can do to help Josh, and not only Josh, but the family and those that are also battling, for their lives, let's do it. Let's do however we can to help.
Yeah, we're going to continue to get the word out. They've got a GoFundMe, and like I said, they're selling shirts. So we'll definitely be passing all that info along. You had a front row seat to Eddie George, and Eddie George is another guy that we had, like the chat with you, really just kind of kick back and just, you know, early on in the stages of quarantine, Eddie came on and we took him down memory lane just like we did with you. You had a front row seat to him, Jeff. And when you see Derrick Henry, you're the perfect guy to ask because Willie and I were obviously there covering the teams that you had, and we saw Eddie front row. But I just want to know through your eyes how you compare the two. When you see Derrick Henry and Eddie George, what do you see in comparison through your eyes?
Well, the similarities, you know, I've been watching the Titans closely and, you know, watched what Derek did last year in particular. You saw flashes and you saw the ability, you saw all these things. And, you know, I don't know if Eddie would openly talk about it, but I heard there was a conversation.
Yep.
That, you know, between Eddie and Derek. And, you know, and it speaks volumes of both. Number one, Eddie being willing, you know, to offer some advice, but two, Derek being willing to listen, and some light went on. And, I mean, it might have been along the lines of, hey, Derek, you're not a 195-pound, you know, third down scat back. You are a man. And so run like a man, and you'll wear people down and things like that. And I was so impressed at his season last year. Now, I mean, I was at the game, the Colts game early on where they retired Stephen Eddie's jersey, and things were just kind of moving along and they're trying to find their way and so on and so forth. But all of a sudden they got going. And so, you know, and they got going because, you know, it's not when you got a back like that, you want to lean on that back and wear people down. Football changes over the course of a season. It changes in September, October, and then we saw it all change when no one gave the Titans a chance. You know, in the postseason, the difference was that people just don't like tackling a big back. You know, I think, you know, somebody referred to it's like, you know, knocking your head on a frozen truck bumper. You know, you don't want to do it. And that's the kind of back he is. So a lot of similarities there. I don't know him personally. I think I do because you get to know if you're in football long enough, you can get to know a guy's personality, watching him play a couple plays, but he's the guy that can, you know, carry them a long way. And, I was really excited to hear that Eddie had gotten together with him and they had talked because, you know, I can tell stories for hours and hours and hours, but you know, I did Lorenzo Neal's show a couple weeks ago out in the Bay Area. They were talking about maybe signing a former Tavon Austin, a former player of mine with the Rams. And so Lo and I were reminiscing. And, you know, one story that just keeps coming out every time I talk about Eddie is it's a game against Jacksonville. It's here at home. And there's, you know, 2 minutes and 5 seconds or inside of 2 minutes left. And we got third down and six. And so Jacksonville's used their last time out, and I'm standing on the sideline. I'm staring at Steven, looking at Eddie, and this game, all we need is a first down. This thing's over. We're kneeling on it. And I said, I remember saying to Steve, I go, hey, man, we can put it on your hip, and you can see what you can get. Keep the clock running. Get down, you know, get what you can. I said, I give it to you. And Eddie goes, what do we need? I said, third and six. He goes, I'll get you eight. I go, okay. Eddie got eight, and we need it. You know, it's like that. Okay, yeah, cool. All right. Well, that's not a hard decision. When someone looks you in the eye and says, I'll get you, hey. So, you know, that's how he was. And then you guys remember that, I'll take you way back, but when we had our first game here in Tennessee in Memphis against the Raiders. Now, the Raiders had been practicing in their training camp was in Napa, and, you know, they were wearing sweatshirts in the morning and sometimes in the afternoon practices. And, you know, it's 95 degrees in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl, and they're a better team than we are, and we take them into overtime. And Eddie runs in at the end of regulation, gets an IV, comes back, and he has over 200 yards in the game. And we beat the Raiders in our inaugural game here. And this is Sunday, overtime, I don't know how many carries, 250 yards, something like that. The next day, I'm out there in Bellevue looking out my window in the temporary facility, and Eddie's running hundreds. So, you know, if Derrick Henry's got any of that in him, watch out. They're going to be really good. But those are all great fun stories. And, you know, football is all about comparisons. You know, you compare one person to the next. That's what the game's based on. And boy, if you put Derek up there with Eddie, then they got something special.
Jeff, you had to obviously do a lot of things differently when you guys first moved here because it wasn't normal circumstances. And certainly we've talked about all that with you, like you said, first year in Memphis, then over at Vanderbilt, and then in trailers out in Bellevue, and then finally you get your new home. But so you had to deal with a lot of adversity. And this year, everybody's going to have to deal with adversity with the pandemic and testing and decision-making. But you had to do those kind of conversations even in normal times, right? Telling young guys, you know, what to do and how to handle finances and make good decisions off the field. And that stuff, you try to ingrain that in their head, but you know it's inevitable. You're going to have to deal with situations. Isaiah Wilson just had a situation over the weekend. You know, going to a party over at campus at TSU. Here's a first-round pick by the Titans, and now Mike Vrabel and John Robinson have to have that talk that you were probably a part of many, many times. What's that like whenever you've got a guy just starting out his career and you just hate when you know that he's made a decision that he'd like to take back?
Well, I mean, guys are going to make – They're going to make decisions for themselves, and what you have to do is do whatever you can to help them make the right ones. Now, this one's a little peculiar, and don't misunderstand when I say this, but I'm sure that if he was told 100 times not to do something like that.
Yeah,
that's the issue. Okay, especially in this day and age, you know, and. You know, guess what? You know, college football is going through it right now. You guys, I'm sure you talk about it till you're blue in the face. It's called testosterone. And, you know, you gotta understand and get your priorities straight and understand why people are giving you advice and why there are rules and things like that, especially this day and age, right now in this moment we're going through. You know, I alluded to if Austin Peay and Central Arkansas are playing, guess what? All eyes are on that, on these games, if there's games this weekend. And fortunately for the three Power Five conferences that are still alive, the NFL is going to have a 2-week head start. You think they're going to be watching their stuff? So, I mean, this is like critical time right now, these next 2 to 3 weeks for the sport of football this fall. And so, you know, and I was thinking about this, you know, all things go through your mind, but, you know, I don't want to go on a limb and say, look, if you're a listener and you like football, wear a mask.
Yeah.
And tell someone else that likes football to wear a mask. Because you don't know when you're going to come in contact with someone who might get in contact with somebody that may infect a roster, that may cause a conference or something to shut down. If you like football, wear a mask, period. You know, that's what they're saying out there. And so if you're a high school senior and you just graduated and you're a freshman and you're stepping on campus, you're going to rush the sorority fraternity, you may come in contact with a player, wear a mask if you want football. And I'm not saying if you're not wearing a mask, you don't like football, but you know what I'm saying, guys.
Yeah,
I mean, we're here to talk about
it's
football.
It's the price we pay.
Here to talk about the general pandemic, but – the bottom line is pretty simple. You know, it's you got to protect each other. You got to make smart decisions. And so far, I mean, with the exception of what went down in New Jersey over the weekend with the testing,
yep.
I mean, things are going okay. And this is a pivotal time right now. So, you know, I'm kind of excited about see where it goes and hopefully that, you know, again, the guys can have a chance to realize those dreams. You know, I have a good friend who's got twins that are seniors in high school in Chicago, and their dreams and goals were to play their senior year in high school. And guess what? No, done. There's no football. I mean, and those stories are just, they're nationwide. So, you know, why don't we do everything we can to try to save a season for a group of teams or players or what have you? But anyway, that's kind of – those are my two cents on it. It's just different. You know, I've been around a little bit, and you know, things have caused me to travel a little bit. And talking to people, that's what comes up. Well, what's going on here? Well, gosh, we're not going to play. Really? I'm so sorry, you know. And you know, it's a great game. And I tweeted a couple or the last week. I mean, you know, you guys, Boys of Fall, Kenny Chesney, it's all there for you. You know, it gives you chills when you hear the song. And if you've been on a field in high school and, you know, you have dreams and reality is it's a great game of fall. And, you know, to think that, you know, we've come this far and we're that close, let's see if we can pull it off.
We're talking to Jeff Fisher, former Titans head coach, of course, longtime NFL coach. Jeff, as you know, we're all sitting here, we're watching all these games. We went through several months with no games, and now we have a ton of games. You see the same commercials pop up. I have to say, I didn't know yours was coming. I heard your voice, and all of a sudden, boom, it was great to have a fresh commercial in there for FanDuel. You did a great job. How did that opportunity come up? I'm sure you've been asked this a million times since people first saw that.
Well, it was a short notice. I got a text on Friday, and I was supposed to shoot it on Tuesday. So my first question was, well, who bailed out on you? I won't tell you who did, but I said, yeah, I'll go do it. So I went and did it. It was kind of fun. Now, obviously, you know, I've gotten a lot of calls. My phone's ringing off the hook and texting about fantasy football, and just for the listeners, I never got involved in it, particularly because when I was working in the NFL, it's gambling.
Right.
And so the league, you know, so you just don't do it. But I'm starting to learn a little bit about it. But, yeah, it was really fun. To your point, I was in the cabin at Montana. I was chasing a dog outside, walked in the kitchen, and I heard my own voice. And I said, what's that? Because I didn't know it was going to be on. And there it was. It was on NHL Live, I think. Really?
Yeah.
Did you not? That's not where you saw it. But anyway,
might have been.
I'm not segueing in. I don't mean to segue into hockey because I got questions for you. But yeah, it was kind of fun. So you know, whatever you can do, I was happy to do it and happy to bail them out.
I want to ask you, Darren and I were talking about a lot of different coaches and where you place them right now, and they're hot and cold, tier one, tier two. There's always coaches that are on a roll, other coaches that are on the hot seat. And then you have a lot of coaches still today that have been through a lot of battles. They've hung in there for a long time. They've had great teams. They've had poor teams. They've had anything in between. You came to mind for me. There's a lot of times in a league that is so focused on parity where sometimes you have a good team lined up, you get some injuries, and it just goes wrong. Sometimes the team's going through transition with salary cap, and then sometimes you take advantage of the fact that you've got really great players. You have to admire, I guess, coaches that you watch that have just hung in there for a long time and coached in this league for 10 or 12 years, even though maybe not every team they have has exceeded expectations.
Well, yeah, and it's beyond the coaches. It's the coach and the GM relationship and the relationship with ownership. That's where it starts. And if you have that, then you have a chance to sustain. And sustaining is the biggest challenge in the NFL there is. You know, you can put together a team, get a break, you know, have a home run of Music City Miracle, get this happen. But can you come back the next year or the next year or the next year? There's going to be tough times. And so does the group itself, the head coach, the GM, ownership and the organization, do they understand, you know, the difficulty to sustain? And that's the thing, because when you have guys working together, I mean, Baltimore's a great example. I mean, John Harbaugh is a good friend of mine, and I'm pulling for John, but what he's done with the team and how that team has changed over the years and how they've adapted the personnel and this and that, you know, it's really, it speaks volumes. And now this relationship starts with Ozzy, and now it's with Eric DaCosta. But they're on the same page, and they're not looking over their shoulder. They're not fire selling this or not going out and trading all their ones for the next 3 years away to get a player that you don't have under contract. So, you know, they're making good decisions. I mean, I don't mean to bring them up, but I don't know what happened this week on the field with one of the better safeties to ever play the game that I battled against when I took the Rams to Seattle every year. But something happened with Earl, and Earl's no longer a part of that team. So they have a plan, and no one should step between there and affect that plan. And that's what happens sometimes. And so, I mean, sustaining is important, and it's hard, and dealing with distractions. And what we have now is we have the biggest single distraction in the history of the NFL right now. And so all eyes are out there. We're all watching to see. But, you know, everybody's dealing with it, so there's really no excuses. And it's how teams are going to deal with those things that potentially come up between now and the start of the season, which is a couple weeks away, and what's going to happen, you know, down the road. You know, if you do have a group of players that are infected, you know, you guys see what's going on in the Gulf right now with the back-to-back tropical storms and hurricanes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Reminded me of going down to, if you remember, we went down to Miami. We had to play a day early because there was a hurricane coming in there. And we go down there, and guess what? We have an issue on our specialist, and we don't have a kicker. And so we, on Friday or Thursday, day before the game, we signed a kicker to kick for the game. And then we let him go after. His name was Aaron Elling. I think we beat the Dolphins. And then we brought, brought in.
What year was that, Jeff? What year was that?
I'm thinking of like 04,
05, somewhere.
05, 06, yeah.
That was Gary Anderson, I think.
No, this was post.
We brought Gary in after the opener because we didn't want to sign, couldn't sign Gary because then we had the guaranteed contract. So if you sign after the first Tuesday of the regular season, then you don't owe a guarantee of the contract. So anyway, we went in. We were hoping that Craig was going to be able to do both. Hendrick could do double duty. And his back goes out in warm-ups, and so he can't do anything. So we got Aaron Elling punting for us and kicking off and kicking field goals and extra points. And, I mean, I remember having a punting tryout before warm-ups with Drew Bennett. and Billy Bullock. Did you guys punt in high school? You know, yeah, okay. Well, you guess you didn't punt very good in high school because that wasn't very good. So, you know, but anyway, we got through the game, and I just started thinking about it. You know, these teams right now are preparing. You have to prepare for all different scenarios, and you see across the league, well, so-and-so says we're going to keep two quarterbacks, and then we're going to have one on practice squad, and then we're going to have another one that's not even in the building in case we get everybody sick, and then at least we can play the game. I'm thinking, well, what are these other positions? Well, your snapper and your holder and your kicker, you need to have backup plan there because that operation is not easy. People take for granted how that you know, the long snapper and the holder. You know, you just can't move someone over there. You got to practice and prepare and make sure you got a backup in those in case something happens the night before a game. So, you know, everything's open right now, and I think that the teams out there that have been together, for example, Baltimore, they're going to be better prepared to handle the what ifs than versus a team that has a new head coach that's trying to figure it out, that, you know, that they just put the system in and they couldn't do it on virtually and on Zoom and da 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 da. You know, it just, that's where this league's going to go right now. So it's going to be interesting to watch, certainly.
Jeff Fisher is with us, former Titans and Rams head coach. And I want to relate what I'm about to ask you to Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel / Arthur Smith and their relationship. But I'll ask it like this. When Steve got established, when he was through the growing pains of and I know it was different that you didn't rush him in there. You let him kind of grow into the role. But once he got through the growing pains and became the guy, how did your coaching style towards him individually change now that you had earned his trust of being your starting quarterback and being the leader of your team?
Well, you know, back when we went through several coordinator changes early on in Steve's career, and when Steve really, well, I mean, in 99, obviously, got us the Super Bowl, but I think when Steve got serious and really took that next step was with Mike Heimerdinger, and they were together for quite some time. They knew each other. They talked, Mike used to say this all the time, Steven, and he goes, hey, we're different, and you know, we drink differently, but guess what? Our brains are on the same page at noon. I mean, and they really were. And so, you know, Steve got, he got comfortable after, you know, several years and saying what he liked and what he didn't like and what he wanted to go back to. And, you know, it takes players sometimes, I can't quantify a year, two, three, to get comfortable enough to say, I don't like that, or I don't understand that, or I don't want that, or let's go back to this. And so Mike was always, he wanted to do what Steve wanted to do, what Steve felt comfortable with. And, you know, they really, they had a great thing going on. And obviously, you know, Steve's and my relationship was unique and different too, from that standpoint. You guys knew, I mean, for the listeners, I don't know, the guy, Steve had a hard time sleeping the night before the game. Okay, I don't know if this is out there, but and he just couldn't sleep Saturday night. And he'd stay up all night if he could, watching Andy Griffith and Gunsmoke. That was his deal. Okay. But so what he did was he'd get it to the stadium and he'd go out, you know, about an hour and a half for warm ups and he'd throw the ball around a little bit and he'd go back in the corner and take a nap. And yep. And if Steve didn't have his nap, it is gonna be a slow starting game. So I remember when Dinger came back the first, you know, came on scene and we're getting ready to play, you know, it might have been the third or fourth preseason game, but he goes, I need to go talk to the quarterback. I go, well, go find him. And he comes back, he goes, your quarterback's freaking sleeping. I go, yeah, I know. He takes a nap before the game. He goes, are you kidding? And he couldn't figure that out. He goes, hey, just be happy that he's sleeping, because if he's not taking his nap, he ain't going to play very well. And so wherever we went for years, our equipment guys over there would set up a little nap place on the road for Steve. And Steve had to have his nap. And when he had his nap, I knew we were good. But, you know, so you got to know, you got to get to know your players. And obviously we did. And, flipping back to what they got going on now, it's a good thing. You know, it's a really good thing. Ryan showed last year he can get it done. And, you know, and the group, it's a good group. And, you know, it's been fun to watch. It reminds me of kind of the old days, what Mike has done and John has done, kind of like what Floyd and I did, you know, in the old days. You need these guys, go get them, draft them, put them together, and then go. Now they got to sustain.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always a challenge. So really, really pulling for them and looking forward to watching them play.
That Dolphins game was to start off the 04 season. I don't know why I don't remember that kicker. I don't remember that, but that was a great story. Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Continue to be safe. Enjoy Montana, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Hey, I appreciate you guys stepping up on Josh's behalf, Josh Evans, if anybody can help out there. And then spread the word, man. You like football, wear a mask.
I love it.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Fisher, former Oilers and Titans head coach, and we do appreciate him joining us. And, yes, we are going to tweet out the information on Josh Evans if anybody wants to buy a shirt or help with the GoFundMe account. We'll come back. Dennis Kelly should be able to join us whenever it looks like they are wrapping up practice. Hopefully we'll have him on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Good conversation there with former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher. Now we go over and talk to a current Titan. Just getting off the practice field. We always enjoy our chats with offensive lineman Dennis Kelly. He now joins us. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing this again. I know it's been a strange year, but how strange, or has it been strange, kind of your daily routine and going through camp to this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely been, you know, one to remember with all the different procedures and the protocols. And, you know, I kind of had to remind myself that this is typically game three in the preseason. So, camp is almost over. And, you know, it's just, it doesn't quite feel the same, you know, compared to other camps, you know, by week three in the preseason game three during training camp. So there's definitely, you know, some urgency to kind of remind guys that, like, that first game's coming up.
I drove by the stadium Saturday after – well, it was probably Saturday early evening. Dennis, it was probably 5, 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that – like you just said, like, for whatever reason, it feels like that second preseason game has always been like a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was just kind of looking at the stadium driving by going, it's just weird knowing that there's not any preseason football. And like you said, you'd be going into this week preparing for the third preseason game. How everybody has to do this, so you get no – you're a veteran, luckily. I can't imagine what it's like for younger guys or guys right. that are trying to make a team. But what has it been like knowing that you're – when you put the pads on for real, or I put the pads on and hit somebody else, it's going to be for real.
Right. Yeah, and I think you kind of mentioned it. You know, being a veteran and, you know, the offensive line as a whole is, you know, typically pretty older. So like guys kind of understanding where they need to be and how they should be feeling. And so it's getting the younger guys and the guys that haven't had that much experience or, you know, are experiencing camp for the first time this way, to try and remind them and trying to let them know, kind of have a self accountability that, you know, we only have so much time to get ready. Like there's going to have to be some, you know, self work on the side as well.
For the most part, I mean, especially over on the left side, or at least, you know, center to left side with Saffold and Lawan and Jones and yourself, I mean, you got guys that you guys have logged a lot of time in the league. You are mm-hmm. definitely veterans, and you understand how the day-to-day operations work. I'm just curious, whenever you have a story like that, what happened with your rookie, Isaiah Wilson, a high draft pick, and that happens, is that something you guys talk to them as a group? Do you talk to them individually? Do you let the coaches handle? How does an incident like that play out behind the scenes?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult. You know, a situation like that, obviously no one in the offensive line room except Isaiah knows exactly what happened. So it's kind of hard for us to go and you know, demand things here and there. So you let the coaching staff handle that. It's usually when messages aren't being received from the coaches that's when players need to come in, and maybe it's just, you know, they're not receiving it the right way, or there's some, you know, unnecessary tension to have a player come in and explain, you know, we've been there, we've done this, we've done something, you know, we were young too. And, that's when, you know, I think a player should be coming in is to try and help the kid receive the message, so, yeah.
That's interesting. So you let the coaches, but then eventually, you know, and this is not the case here, but that's interesting. So it's more – because you always hear a room policing itself, whether mm-hmm. it's an offensive line room or whatever, or just in the grand scheme, the room, the locker room policing mm-hmm. itself. I was always curious how that dynamic would play out. So in this case, you let the coaches, and if for whatever reason it's not – seeing the results that everybody's looking for later down the road, then it would turn to you guys?
I mean, yeah, that's just kind of the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
Know? I'm sure different teams and different locker rooms and different players, you know, see it another way. You know, but I feel that, you know, players are the ones that should be trying to help each other as much as possible. And if a message isn't being received, that's when I think the players should step in.
Talking to Dennis Kelly, offensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans. Dennis, we all love watching Hard Knocks every year. It just to get a feel for the work that's being put in every day for the players to get on the field and get their work in. So much goes into that with the people administering the tests and everybody doing what mm-hmm. they are supposed to do. It really, for a lot of people, I'm sure, is a thankless job, and you maybe breathe a sigh of relief at the end of the day, and no, you got to do it all over again the next day. It just sort of illustrates the discipline that you have to have this year to get where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Taylor and Lohan and I were actually just talking about how fascinating, just how big an operation, you know, one professional sports team is. With, you know, you have the grounds crew, you have the equipment guys, you have the training staff, you have the weight room staff, you have the coaching staff, you have the food staff. Now you throw in everything with COVID, you have the testers, you have the cleaners, you have the protocols. And so, you know, it really comes down to just everybody working together and everyone protecting each other.
No question about it. And so I good luck continuing with all that stuff, everybody coming together and doing what you got to do to play, because I know how much everybody's looking forward to seeing these games. It's been so awesome. We went from having no games for a few months there.
Right.
To now we've got these games in the other sports, and we're waiting for football to kick in when the time comes here. So, Dennis, tell us, you know, with no preseason games and the preparation that goes into it, trying to build that chemistry within yourselves at the offensive line, the offensive unit, how much is different and how much is really just the same basic principles that you always have?
I mean, I haven't been treating that any differently just because I think our group is really close and it's a real special group of guys. So coming together and building that chemistry isn't that difficult. And at the same time, you know, some teams, starters don't even play in the preseason games anymore. So, you know, it's more just getting, you know, the individual reps, the team reps, everything you can to try and figure out, you know, what I mean by saying this or what Nate means by saying that and, like, what's easier for us to do it this way. And so it's just really being able to talk to them about it, talk to each other about it, and, you know, just kind of coming together and figuring it out all together.
You mentioned Nate. I wanted to ask you about Nate Davis, because last year at this time, we didn't really know what he was going to be able to bring to the table. He deserves a lot of credit for being able to jump in there like he did in the middle of the season and then improve dramatically. He's got to be starting from a way higher point 1 year later. That's got to mean great things for the entire offensive line.
Yeah, he's done a really good job with his attitude, his confidence, and, you know, carrying over from last year. Like you said, he kind of got thrown into the fire and, you know, was able to respond and get better throughout the year. And so, you know, he's just trying to build off of that and get better every day, and we're all working together to do the same.
Dennis Kelly is with us, Titans offensive lineman. And along those lines, the offensive line, in my opinion, has to be more on the same page than any other position group on a football team. I assume you would agree with that. But last season was so different to start with training camp. Taylor was suspended. You're filling in for him at left. Rogers new. You're trying to figure out the right guard spot. Jack's coming back from injury. Has this camp been smoother for you guys as a unit? Because really the only big change is Jack's gone and Isaiah's come in as a rookie. But pretty much everybody is where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I would say that. You know, obviously there's normal, I guess you could say, getting rust off, so to speak, just because with no OTAs or anything like that. But I would say that overall it's been a smoother, you know, camp. Just there's just not as many moving pieces, and add the fact that, you know, with all the COVID protocols and everything like that, you know, things have kind of been not stricter, more scheduled. That's a better way to say it.
I know you know, you obviously had a good off season. You got rewarded with a new contract to stay with the Titans, but the big news being Derek getting a long term deal done to stay here. Since you work so closely with the running back and run protection, I mean, how big of a moment was it when that news came out for the offensive line to see Derek get rewarded for the hard work that he's put in?
Absolutely. You know, it's awesome for him. I'm happy for him and his family. You know, the guy busts his ass every day, and it's definitely worth it for him to get the reward. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's excited to have him here for a long time, and you know, kind of put that back burner so everyone can focus on the goal.
When you talk about continuity, and you know, I've heard the phrase "running it back" with Ryan. You know, he got rewarded with a new deal. He's back. Arthur back in his second year as the offensive coordinator. How much of that has been discussed? Of okay, we all know each other. We all know what the plan is offensively, and now we can build upon that even more as you have this extended time of just being able to use the practice time and the classroom time to get on the same page.
Yeah, I think Art's done a really good job of explaining that while we hit our stride at the end of last year, you know, it's a whole new year. It's a very weird year with COVID, and so we can't get complacent, and we have to, like you said, build off of what we were doing last year, not just settle for that. You know, as great as last year went, it wasn't as it wasn't the end goal. So we just have to find the ways to improve so we can, you know, win two more games.
Last thing, Dennis, we know that your first three games are going to be without fans. How strange is that going to be for the players?
You know, I'm sure some guys are going to be very weird. You know, some of the guys that have played at the really big schools that are always sold out, over 100,000. You know, I'm sure there are some guys that are more, you know, used to it. And so I think it's just – I think it's going to come from the players to kind of – to build that energy. You know, they're, you know, guys always talk about playing better in front of a crowd and all that. You know, we're still going to be on TV. We're still – like, the country's still going to be able to watch us. The state's still going to be able to watch us. So, you know, we might not see the people, but people are still going to be watching. So I think it's going to be on, you know, guys to get each other up.
Yeah, good approach. Hey, thanks for doing this as always. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be watching, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
That is you do the same. That's Dennis Kelly. We do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Don't forget, rocknashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, and ways to help Middle Tennessee community. That's rocknashville.com. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, been a loaded hour. We started off with Jeff Fisher, and then you just heard from Titans offensive lineman Dennis Kelly. We'll hear probably from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, in the next hour, talking about how practice went, including, I saw this on Twitter from Teron Davenport, who joins us every Monday on the program, who was out there. And evidently, guys, we may be getting close to a kicker battle out at training camp. Yeah.
A kicker battle.
Greg Joseph went 3 for 5 today. His two misses were from 49 and 56, okay, not shabby. Both went wide right, according to TD. But Tucker McCann was 5 for 5, including nailing the 56-yarder that split the uprights.
You know, Joe Rexroad was writing about that, too, and I wasn't buying in. And I think he was somewhat, you know, careful in how to say that. Because you just figured that it would take a lot for Joseph to not have the job to start with. It would take some guts to put a guy out there that's never kicked before in your first game with where the team is right now. But you have to earn your spot, right? And you don't have games to go off of. So this is the competition, is how do you do in the drills? That's all you have to go off of. You can't get on a guy for missing a 56-yarder. But when you miss one and a guy makes one, it definitely turns heads. If everybody's kicking from the same spot, that's the kind of pressure you're trying to create, because if you can't shine there, you're certainly not going to shine in the games when everything's on the line.
And according to, I saw Teresa Walker, who quote tweeted what Teron put out there and said that Greg Joseph was visibly upset after the misses. So, you know, what does that tell you?
He's
can feel
it.
The competition,
yeah,
right?
He
can
knows
feel
he's,
it.
He knows he's got to do better to earn the spot.
Yeah.
But that's what it's all about. You know, Jeff Fisher made a really interesting point that I had not thought of what could arise with positive tests. And if baseball's in any indication, there will be some positive tests where your roster is going to be compromised on any given game day, right? It could happen 2 days before you find out that X isn't playing. He brought up a really good point. What if that person is the punter or the kicker or the long snapper, the specialists?
Yeah.
Those guys are not easy to replace, as he pointed out. He gave the great anecdote when they had to go down. They physically did not have a kicker. Or, you know, they lost Craig Hendrick on top of it. You know, stuff that arises once in a blue moon in a regular football season, but could happen more often this year. So what's your plan? Do you have a guy at your disposal who is the backup long snapper? I'm sure you always do, but who is that guy? Because there's a better chance that you might actually have to use that guy.
Well, I would think for something like, well, I this is just an opinion or guess, educated guess maybe, but I would think for like a long snapper, there is probably somebody that is on the roster already that you would trust to do those things because, Bo Brinkley could get hurt, you know, in the middle of a game. So I would think that that's something that you would plan for. But as for what you're talking about, the punter or the kicker, I mean, that – it's a very good point. You got to put that in the same category as a quarterback. Of that's such a unique position that you have to have plan B, plan C, even more than ever with this situation. Now, I was trying to pull up with Tucker McCann because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he can do both, that he can kick and punt. So could he be one of these extra practice squad guys if he doesn't win the job altogether? And he's the emergency, the backup guy, if something happens to Kern or Joseph, if that's the direction that they go.
Did you guys have any idea who this kicker was?
Who?
The guy that's battling Greg Joseph.
Tucker McCann?
Yeah.
I knew they had a guy named Tucker McCann in camp.
A guy named Tucker McCann.
Yeah, I knew he went to Missouri. I just remember that standing out to me when they signed him. Like, oh, he's an SEC guy.
Right, I don't have some vivid memory of him making big kicks at Missouri. I just – that's sometimes the nature of the position. But this one is kind of out of left field, right?
Let me help you out here, Willie.
Not really, though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we've talked about this. We've brought it up. Like, the only thing we knew through Greg Joseph at least being here is that he could hit extra points, right? Yeah. What was he, 15 for 15? Like, we knew he could hit extra points. He attempted one field goal, and it was about the length of an extra point, and he made it. So he was 1 for 1, and it was basically – right around what an extra point is, because remember the extra point has been moved back, so it's a little bit more difficult. And so in the 30s, you know, a 32-yarder or a 34-yarder in that range, yeah, we know that he's perfect. But that's what I've been bringing up. Remember, I used the example, like, are they sure? Like, they need a 47-yard field goal at the beginning of the year. Like, Greg Joseph, are they going to attempt it, or are they going to go for it on 4th and 2? Do they kick the 47-yard field goal, or do they go for it? Like, that's what I would like to know. Like, that tells me what kind of level of confidence they have in Greg Joseph.
Gentlemen, I'm working for you. I'm like Channel 4.
What do you got?
In 4 years at Missouri, Tucker McCann, in his career, extra points, he was 175 of 186, so 94.1%.
That's
not good at all.
That's not good at all.
No, that's terrible.
That's too many misses.
That's the extra point from the 2 yard line. No, that's terrible.
With the wider uprights. That stat does not tell me this is an NFL kicker.
No.
All right.
That does nothing.
Field goal, 61 of 84, 72.6. And he did punt his senior year.
Okay.
That didn't really tell us much.
Let me know how long the field goals are. Right. That you do have to
give me the ones in the 40s and 50 plus. Give me those.
All right, hang on. I'm working on it. I'm just giving you the broad numbers first. So
while you look that up, the other part of this is there was nobody saying, "Hey, watch out for this guy. They're bringing in this kicker from Missouri. He could challenge for the job." You just didn't hear that.
Nope.
I mean, Jeff Fisher would bring in a guy every year to compete with whoever the kicker was going to be, whether it was Joe Nedney or Al DelGreco or the guys. But there was really rarely a guy that truly was competing for the job. He was just kind of there to have another guy.
Rob Baronis was. We were all like, who's Rob Baronis? Right?
But that's when the job was open.
Some Arena Football League kicker? Yeah. Really?
Now, that was a great pickup.
But was
right?
it? Was
that,
he even...
that is the great point about this is you never know who the guy is until you give him a shot. Nobody had heard of Rod Baronis, but he was he was awesome.
Was he? But that was a kicker battle, and was he even a part of the original kicker battle? And before they signed him,
well, I can't remember why the job. It was post Gary Anderson, right? And
yes.
It was they went through.
There were a couple of different guys in training camp, and I don't think he was one of them right away. I can't remember.
Was there a guy who was like a German kicker?
Yes.
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 Wasn't that who he was going up against?
So what year would that have been? Was that 05, 06?
I think it was 04, I think. Because that's when everything cratered. It was 04.
Okay, I'm abandoning my Tucker McCann stats.
Yeah, the Tucker McCann, we'll see. This is a wait and see. He's getting on the radar. More power to him, and we'll see.
Willie, did you remember Aaron Elling? I don't ever remember that game with Aaron Elling kicking field goals and extra points.
Now that you mention the name, maybe a little bit, but I never would have thought of that.
That would have been a great trivia question. I do not
You're
remember.
Talking about that was the game in Miami?
That was the start of the season. That was the first game of the season down in Miami, and the Titans won. And that was, ironically, on, I think it was September 11th, 04, and they beat the Dolphins 17-7, and that was the story that Jeff Fisher was talking about. And Aaron Elling was the guy that kicked the extra points and actually made a field goal in that game.
So it might have been 05 that everything came crumbling down, because that was a poor team. I think that's when Rob Baronis came on the scene.
Yeah,
I think 05.
I'm just trying to find the guy that Darren's talking about, because I remember there was another one that it was kind of presumed could win the battle, and then Baronis turns out to be just.
Well,
the,
you did. Yeah, and you Baronis, did your work.
Baronis was an instant hit, right? Even though the team was bad, he made everything. Like he clearly took over the job. Once he was given the opportunity, he jumped in there and grabbed it.
Yep.
That's the ideal
scenario.
He was going
up against a German kicker, I'm pretty sure.
Because what you don't want this year for the Titans is to have to play that who's the kicker each week. Can we rely on our kicker? And that was a big burden on them throughout the season last year. Absolutely.
Yep. Our conversation with Dennis Kelly is a part of our Titans training camp coverage, and that's brought to you by Osteo Strong Nashville and Wyatt Johnson Ford. We'll come back and start the fourth and final hour. We'll hear from head coach Mike Vrabel. But first, I'll talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been seeing them for years, and they've been helping a lot of you here in Middle Tennessee for many, many years. How about since 07? 13 years, to be exact. They've been helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center on that quest, the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to help you with a multitude of things under one roof. Yeah, they do a lot of things under one roof. And maybe you haven't been feeling yourself lately. You've been feeling sluggish or just haven't had any get up to you, haven't had any desire to really do normal things. You've been feeling off. Well, maybe you need to get in there and have your talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. Get your levels checked. They may be really low, and that may be at the center of your problem. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management is something vitally important to them right now and should be vitally important to you. I know maybe you've been off in your workout routines. Maybe your gym that you go to has been closed a lot of this time, and maybe you've tacked on some weight that you want to get rid of. Well, they got programs and people that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. And when you pull into that facility there in Cool Springs right off 65, you're going to let them know that you're there. They're going to contact you when it is time to safely come in for your visit. If you need to look at everything that they can provide you, go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.